The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, a disappointing start to the three-game road trip for the Bucks, and I know I've constantly pointed to the percent chances of where the Bucks are going to finish in the Eastern Conference standings. You're still in a pretty good spot, but it's games like this now that make you even more cognizant of what the New York Knicks are doing, and you certainly have to keep an eye on those Knicks who play tomorrow and have an even bigger game on Sunday. The math is still on the Bucks' side, and I think we talked about this before this game tonight. When you hit that stretch of 10 games remaining, which now drops to 9, and said, look, if you go 5-5, there's still a lot of things that would have to happen for the Knicks or Cavs or even Magic to catch you, but some of those things have started to happen since. Maybe not so much for the Orlando Magic. That loss to the Golden State Warriors last night may end up being what really sunk their chances to move off of that 4-5 seed line. But it keeps the door open. Tonight's result keeps the door open for the Cavaliers and for the New York Knicks, certainly. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As this was, look, I think after that Lakers game, we had mentioned it was a disappointing outcome, a double overtime game, and you can point to no LeBron James and the fact that the Bucks caught the Lakers twice without LeBron and lost both of those games. In both of those games, they had incredible individual performances from somebody else. First game, it was D'Angelo Russell scoring 44 points. In the game on Tuesday, it was a number of players. There was a big second half from D'Angelo Russell, big second half from Austin Reeves, huge second half from Anthony Davis. D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and Anthony Davis all scored 20-plus points after halftime in that game. And you think about what Anthony Davis did on the glass. Big-time performances from their, I don't even want to say secondary players, but they got it across the board. That's what the Bucks have been searching for here in these last couple of games. And tonight was a game where you got it from Giannis, especially in the third quarter. I mentioned this on the network portion of the show. 8 times now that Giannis has scored 20 or more points in a quarter. 5 of those 8 have come in the last 2 seasons. Giannis was unstoppable in the third quarter, where it seemed like he was scoring a lot, and all of a sudden you looked up at the stat sheet and saw, man, he is scoring a lot. 20 consecutive points scored for the Bucks in that third quarter. He nearly matched the New Orleans Pelicans himself. Malik Beasley was pretty good tonight. 6 made threes once again. Damian Lillard went 3 of 6 on his threes and 8 of 16 from the field. But I think what we talked about a little bit on the post game that I do want to open up the conversation to is what we've seen from Damian Lillard, not even pre-All-Star break versus post-All-Star break, when we saw some officiating shifts start to go in, it does seem to be impacting Damian Lillard more than any other player in the league so far. So we'll explain what that means in just a second. But Damian Lillard with 20, Malik Beasley with 20, that was the issue. Malik Beasley, you'll take 20 points from him anytime he gives it to you. On a night where you only had 3 players score in double figures, you needed more than 20 points from Damian Lillard. You needed more than 7 points from Chris Middleton. And what really stood out was just 5 points from Bobby Portis, as your bench just scored 11 points. Those things obviously played a role, but it was all the hustle points in those categories where the Pelicans dominated. You do expect to lose some of those to the Pelicans. They are very good at forcing turnovers and scoring off of those turnovers. When you think about some of the defenders they have on the perimeter, you can understand why they come away with a lot of steals and forced turnovers. But you couldn't lose the margin by the margin that you did tonight. That, to me, is what stood out. Free throws are a big part of it. But plus 12 in second chance points scored off of offensive rebounds. Pelicans plus 12. Plus 8 on points in the paint. Plus 15 on points off of turnovers. That's plus 35 points right there. Even though you hit 6 more threes, that's not going to offset those numbers. And then the free throws as well. Plus 17. Right. You needed to hit 25 to 33s to offset some of those numbers, and the Bucks just did not get it tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I'll explain what I mean about those Damian Lillard free throw numbers, and we'll take a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
107 to 100, the final score in New Orleans. Bucks fall to the Pelicans in the first game of this three-game road trip. Good news is you got 9 games left. More of them are at home than on the road now. But what we've started to see is look, you don't expect 48 minutes of mistake-free basketball or not getting caught in neutral, if you will, offensively. But it does seem as though it started to pop up a little bit more with the offense. And I think back to all the times that Doc Rivers had mentioned, even after wins, even after impressive wins, it's not a finished product. We're still getting there. We're improving. I like where we're headed. And I do think we will get there. But it's not there yet. And I think nights like tonight, nights like the Lakers game on Tuesday night, that's where you understand what Doc Rivers was referring to. But part of this offense kind of losing its way, I don't know if losing its way is even the right way to put it, but just getting caught in the mud. Part of what we've seen there, and I've pointed to half-court offense and the importance of that and how vital it is that we've seen the Bucks producing a better half-court offense this season and doing so under Doc Rivers. And more importantly, doing so against the best defenses in the league. The importance of that is paramount, not just the Bucks, to any team that expects to go on a deep playoff run. But one thing that we have started to see, and this relates to half-court offense, is free throws. And we've heard from a number of officials within the league that, yes, there has been a shift in how we are officiating things. You think back to some of the offensive numbers we were seeing early in the season, unmatched. You think back to how year after year, talked about this before, the team that finishes with the top offensive rating in the league for the last couple of years and for the next few years, in all likelihood, is going to finish with the top offense in the history of the league. It has been an offensive game. And I think really, the breaking point, if you will, was the week we had, in January, I think it was, where you had Karl Anthony Towns with a 60-point game. You had Joel Embiid doing the same thing. You had Luka Doncic with a 70-point game, all within the span of a couple of weeks. That's when it really seemed like, okay, this has gone too far, right? We all love offense, but it seems like we got a little much. And slowly, unbeknownst to us, the league was starting to say, let's change how we're officiating this. And then as more games piled up, you got to see, it seems like this is a little off. And it was, as we heard from Joe Dumars and Monty McCutcheon and others with the league, that yes, we have been cracking down. We have been more watchful on some of these things. And we have let teams play a little bit more. So free throw rate has come down across the board. And this was one of the initiatives 2 years ago, too. When you think back to the start of the season, the rip-through moves and all that, it was starting to be cracked down on. It spiked once again after about a month, but that was one of the points of emphasis coming into the league, into the season. It has been a point of emphasis since January 31st. That's when this change really started to take shape. So in games played up to through January 30th, Damian Lillard, and we talked about this with Dave Kane moments ago, Damian Lillard was getting to the free throw line at the sixth highest rate in the league. Joel Embiid was number one, no surprise there. Giannis was number two, but Damian Lillard was getting there, sixth most in the league. Since then, those numbers have shifted dramatically. Down to 27th in free throw attempts per game since January 31st. And Doc Rivers talked about this, joked about it, that look, Dame is on the video. So in other words, what the league uses to show, look, this is what we're trying to eliminate. This is what we do not want. Damian Lillard's on that video. So in other words, if this guy is the poster child for what we're trying to crack down on, you're just not going to get that call. And Doc has even said, I've told him, you can't look for it. If you don't get it, we just got to move on. We can't campaign for that call. We can't turn and look at the officials. We got to get back and play defense or stay in the play, because you're not going to get the call if you're on the video. And it's not just being on the video. It's across the league. We're not seeing that call made. Damian Lillard averaging 8 free throw attempts per game through January 30th. Giannis just over 11. So that duo was getting to the free throw line nearly 20 times per game. It's why the Bucks were one of the elite teams, third best in the league at their free throw rate. Since January 31st, no surprise here, Giannis is number one, because Joel Embiid has not played since January 31st. So Giannis is number one, averaging one fewer free throw attempt per game. But Damian Lillard, as I mentioned, dropped to 27th, 4.7 free throw attempts per game. So nearly half as many trips to the line for Dame since January 31st. That duo has dropped from about 20 free throw attempts per game to about 14 free throw attempts per game. These are all big parts of the half-court offense. Now, part of what's unfair to really view this is, again, how defenses can set up to defend you. And a large portion of these games, a big part of this sample size, since it started January 31st, Bucks were playing without Chris Middleton, 16 of those games, right? This includes 23 games from Damian Lillard. Two-thirds of those are without Chris Middleton. So that is a part of it. And I think the encouraging part is, it's not to say, man, if they're not making those calls, Bucks could be screwed here, and Damian Lillard's not going to get free throw attempts in the playoffs. I think what's most encouraging about all of this is, while he is not getting those free throw attempts, he's shooting at a higher percentage from the floor and from three in the games played since then. He's a 42% field goal shooter and a 35% essentially percent three-point shooter in those games played through January 30th. In the games since January 31st, shooting 43%, so slightly better from the field, but 38% on threes, 4 percentage points better from three. He's been more efficient. He's just not getting to the free throw line as much. Do I think this is going to maintain through the playoffs? Yes and no. I think you're probably going to see things officiated closer to that post-January 31st rate than the through January 30th rate. But just the threat of Damian Lillard is what is most important to the Bucks. And again, it is discouraging. It is something to file away and at least highlight and say, let's make note of that and keep an eye on that. But you cannot ignore some of the offensive personnel the Bucks had on the floor at times. It's not to say they were a bad offense, but again, 16 out of those 23 games, there was no Chris Middleton on the floor. So that is something to keep an eye on and point out as well. I mentioned we'll take a look at the Eastern Conference standings. Only one other game, so there is no teams the Bucks need to be concerned with playing tonight. But those teams chasing the Bucks got some help with that loss. So we'll take a look at the latest on the standings and the latest odds for the Bucks to hold off either the Knicks and or the Cavaliers after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
Awaits.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so again, just one other game on the schedule tonight. Where were these losses months ago for the Boston Celtics? But they lose to the Atlanta Hawks for the second time in a week. And the second time the Hawks in that week that the Hawks beat them without Trae Young. It doesn't matter what the Celtics do. They have already clinched the one seed in the Eastern Conference. Hawks needed that game, too, to keep any hope alive of hosting the 9 versus 10 matchup in the play-in tournament, because I've mentioned this already a couple of times. I think what we do know, and we know the Celtics are the one seed, the other things we do know are that the Bulls and Hawks are going to be 9 and 10 with the order to be determined, and the Bucks, Knicks, Cavs, and Magic are going to make up your 2 through 5 with the order to be determined. That leaves the Pacers, the Heat, and the 76ers. Two of those teams are going to be on the outside looking in. It's like musical chairs. Only two can lose here. Those two are going to be in the play-in tournament. At this moment, the Bucks are the 2 seed, meaning they would get the winner of the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think if you surveyed most Bucks fans and said, who do you least want to play in the first round of the most likely opponents the Bucks will have? I think number one on that list would be the Miami Heat. Number two would probably be the Philadelphia 76ers, and those are the two most likely teams that the Bucks are going to draw in the first round of the playoffs. So we'll get into that conversation in much more detail a couple of games from now once we get a better understanding of what those standings are going to look like. But here's the encouraging part. It's 2 straight losses for the Bucks. You look at the standings and you look at that loss column and you see it's down to just 1 game for the Knicks. It's down to 2 games for the Cavs in terms of separation between the Bucks and those teams. 3 games of the Magic. I'll say this. I think the only way the Magic can insert themselves in that conversation, they have to win both games remaining against the Bucks, and even then, you've got to outplay the Bucks by at least 3 games. But with all that in mind, the Bucks, after tonight's result, still have a 91% chance of finishing no lower than 3rd. And look, I think we've all assumed that's what it's going to be at this point. Now it's just a matter of, okay, is it going to be the Knicks or is it going to be the Cavs that jump up and hold on to that 3rd and are pushing the Bucks for the 2 seed? 75% chance to get the 2 seed. That is what the Bucks still have. So again, still in a very good spot, because it can be daunting to look at those standings and see the Knicks just 1 game back of you in the loss column. But I'll mention it again. You have the tiebreaker. And regardless of what happens in that game on April 7th, you will still hold the tiebreaker. So the Knicks are going to need to outplay you by 2 games, right? If the Bucks go 5-4 down the stretch here and get to 51 wins, the Knicks would need to go 8-2 in their final 10 games. If you go 5-4, Cavaliers will have the tiebreaker over the Bucks. And again, you go 5-4, you get to 51 wins. Cavaliers have to go 7-2. And you look at the schedule the Cavaliers have, what they're about to embark on. They play Friday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. An important game for Philadelphia as well. Then they go on a 5-game road trip, right? The Bucks come home for a 5-game homestand. Cavs go on a 5-game road trip, coinciding periods. At Denver, at Utah, at Phoenix, at the Lakers, at the Clippers. That's the 5-game road trip for the Cavs. It's not impossible, but I don't know about 7-2 in that stretch. And again, for the Knicks, it would be 8-2. Knicks' schedule is a little less daunting, but Oklahoma City in Miami against the Heat, the Sacramento Kings, the huge matchup with the Bucks on April 7th, which may well determine who gets the 2 seed. But to me, the big stretch for the Bucks is what starts on Saturday, because I've mentioned this portion of the schedule a number of times already, and I'll tell you why it's important coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so again, numbers are still very much on the Bucks side for the 2 seed. Is it important to be the 2 seed? I don't know. Bucks won the title as a 3 seed. The important part is not to be a 4 seed. And you know, I've said that from day one. Doesn't matter if the Bucks finish second or third, where they finish second or third. It matters that they do finish second or third. If you lose home court advantage after the first round, so be it, right? You won game 7 on the road in Brooklyn 3 years ago. How time flies. You closed out the Atlanta Hawks in the conference finals on the road as well. You essentially won the NBA finals on the road with that win in game 5 in the fashion that they did. So I think we can overinflate the importance of, yeah, but you got to have home court. It's only so important. And every team is different. Every story is a different story. It remains to be seen what it will be with this team, but I think what was so crucial for that team in 2021 was, you know, we saw that Bucks team get off to slow starts in series, in games 1 and 2. Think about how they played. Game 1 in the first round went down to the wire. Chris Middleton hits the game winner against the 6th-seeded Miami Heat. The rest of that series, we can throw that out since it was a sweep. But for game 1 purposes, wasn't their best performance. First 2 games of the series against the Brooklyn Nets, you lose relatively close game in game 1, but it was a game where James Harden left after, I think it was 13 seconds with a hamstring injury. Game 2, you nearly lose by 50 points. What about the conference finals? You lose game 1 on the home floor to the Atlanta Hawks. You lose both games to the Phoenix Suns, I believe, by double digits in the finals. So this Bucks team was really the midpoint of the series where they started to figure things out. Well, if you're on the road, if you're the lower seed and you don't have home court, that's more favorable because you're not throwing away home games, essentially. Right? As you start to figure things out and find your groove and play better, you got home games. So it's not okay. We got to figure this out on the road. And again, I don't know if that's going to be the case this year, but I think it's things like that where we can overinflate. I don't know how much it really matters. I get you would get one extra home game, but who knows how important that's going to be? Who knows if you even need it? But you just don't want to be 4. You don't want to have a path that is Boston Celtics in the second round, whoever comes out of the other half of the bracket on the other portion. And who knows who that would mean in the first round. Sure, it could be the Magic. It could be the Cavs. It could be the Knicks. You just want to avoid the 4 seed. But this stretch that the Bucks are coming into now is probably their most important stretch of the season, because you have 4 consecutive games against teams that are going to be either out of the playoffs or barely in. So if we look past the Hawks game, then it's 3 straight games against non-playoff teams. So this stretch, this 5-game stretch in Atlanta against the Hawks. Now, the Bucks have, and they're not alone here, but the Bucks have had issues this season against undermanned teams. So that's the hesitation for Saturday night in Atlanta, knowing there will not be Trae Young in that game. And we've seen the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young beat the Boston Celtics twice now. But you have the Atlanta Hawks, who again are currently the 10 seed in the Eastern Conference. Then you have the Washington Wizards, who have been arguably the worst team in the league this season. And here as we sit now on March 28th, The Washington Wizards have the second worst record in the league, second fewest wins at 14. Two games back of the Detroit Pistons. After that, you have the Memphis Grizzlies at home. It starts a five-game homestand. Memphis Grizzlies at home. The Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, have the third worst record in the Western Conference, seventh worst record in basketball. Then you have the Toronto Raptors, and the Toronto Raptors have a worse record than the Memphis Grizzlies. So those are four games you would point to and say, look, you've got to go at least 3-1, and realistically you should go 4-0, but you got to go at least 3-1. Now, if you do that, you go 3-1, let's say, you're up to 49 wins. And I think if you get to 52, it's a lock. You will be the 2 seed. 51, you're still feeling pretty good. But the game after those four is that home game against the New York Knicks. Now, again, it has suddenly shifted to, hey, you know what? The Bucks and the Knicks actually have an easier schedule than the Cavs. I think on paper, the Bucks still have a more challenging schedule, but the caveats of you got the Celtics, that game's already meaningless for Boston. Who knows how they're going to play that? And you have this stretch of games with teams you should beat up on. It's a big stretch for the Bucks because those are four games you should expect to win, and then maybe your biggest game of the season if the Knicks are keeping the pace in that matchup. Again, the Knicks need to win that game and still need a lot of other things to go their way. But if you're the Bucks, if you go on a four-game win streak now going into that game where we're talking about a team that's already at 50 wins, it may already be over, but a win in that game certainly ends any hope of the Knicks or any team catching you for the 2 seed. We'll take a closer look at that matchup with the Hawks and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so a big stretch of games here for the Bucks. Who would have thought we'd be seeing that with those teams on the schedule? But it is a big stretch, and it starts Saturday night in Atlanta against the Hawks. No Trae Young in that game, but again, two of the last three wins for the Atlanta Hawks, who, by the way, will enter that game against the Bucks in a four-game win streak. Two of those wins are against the Boston Celtics. The New York Knicks, I mentioned their schedule, not overly challenging. And if we look at opponent win percentage in your remaining games, well, right now the Bucks have moved down to the middle of the pack. 15th most difficult remaining schedule in the league, all the way in the middle. Knicks are up to 7th, actually, and the Cavaliers sit at 16th. It does not seem like those schedules are as even as they are here. 15 and 16 for the Bucks and the Cavaliers. But again, a lot of that has to do with the win percentage the Boston Celtics carry. And who knows if it's going to be, for all intents and purposes, a preseason game or a scrimmage. Who knows who Boston will or won't play in that game. But there's a very real possibility you don't see hardly anybody in that game. With how late it is in the season and the fact that, again, Boston has nothing to play for at this point. There are some big games on the horizon, however. And I mentioned tomorrow night, you have a couple. 76ers and Cavaliers is certainly interesting. For the Bucks, you would be rooting for the 76ers to win to add even more separation. Knicks play tomorrow night as well, though it is in San Antonio against the Spurs, so you would expect the Knicks to win that game. Sunday is a big one. Sunday you have 76ers playing, the Knicks playing, the Heat playing, the Cavs playing. But a couple of huge games that day. The New York Knicks host the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Cavs go to Denver to play the Nuggets. So if you were going to get help, you would expect some of it to come on that day. And then the Knicks, same day that the Bucks wrap up their road trip in D.C. against the Wizards, Knicks play the Miami Heat. So there are some challenging games on the horizon for those teams. But you got to take care of business, and especially in this four-game stretch that the Bucks have coming up. Next game broadcast is Saturday night in Atlanta, 6:30 tip-off for the Bucks and the Hawks. Our pregame coverage begins at 6 o'clock. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.